Here's Tom Ezern with this week's Plainsfolk essay.
In Sublime Overview of the Valley of the Little Missouri River, in the Badlands of North Dakota, stands a simple but elegant residence from the 1880s known as the Chateau des Morais. As a historian, I have a little bit of a problem with anachronism here. You see, I can uncover no evidence that people in the territory ever called this place the Chateau des Morais. In his biography of the Marquis des Morais, historian Jerry Tweeten says the residence was called the Chateau by the press and local folks. There is no footnote for that. I can say for sure the press made no such usage, and there is no record of local folks, and really I hate that phrase, using it. There was no Chateau des Morais, but there was a Chapeau des Morais, which is to say, the hat of the Marquis des Morais. When he emerged as the leader of anti-Semitic proto-fascism in Paris during the 1890s, following his misadventures in Dakota in the 1880s, the Marquis made it part of his personal branding to wear a Western-style broad-brim hat, the Chapeau des Morais. There he is, in his chapeau, on the cover of the new biography by Sergio Luzzatto, First Fascist, the sensational life and dark legacy of the Marquis des Morais. I do not find the Luzzatto biography authoritative about the Marquis's years in the territory. He doesn't know about land and cattle, but then neither did Morais. Heck, he even failed in the sheep business, in which countless other absentee owners profited. What Luzzatto does is detail the despicable origins of French fascism, centered on Morais and on his contemporary, Edouard Drumont. Luzzatto also finds the actions of Morais in Dakota Territory, cavalier disregard for others to the point of homicide, heedless spending, general fecklessness in management, consistent with his whole life trajectory. The first book-length biography of Morais dates from 1970, the University of Oklahoma Press, entitled The Marquis des Morais, Emperor of the Badlands. It is, as evident from the title, a puff piece. Suffice it to say, this was not a shining moment for a great publisher of literary nonfiction. Soon after came The Marquis des Morais, Dakota capitalist, French nationalist, by North Dakota's own Jerome Tweeten, published by the Institute for Regional Studies, 1972. It's a pretty good biography, written from the standpoint of the American West, and it relates in matter-of-fact fashion some of the Marquis's political debasements in France, but it goes light on them. And it doesn't have the archival evidence used by Luzzatto. So that's all just historiography, and of interest perhaps only to scholars in their seminars. But we in North Dakota also have invested heavily in a positive mythology around the Marquis des Morais. The so-called chateau is the jewel in the crown, monarchical overtones intended, of our state historic sites. When we put it on the National Register of Historic Places in 1972, after publication of the Tweeten biography, we said its significance lies in its status as a memorial to the man who built it, because therein is related a remarkable story of the development of the West and the diversity of the people who settled it and tamed it and made it a productive part of this nation. Now, then we have the bronze statue of the Marquis, sent from France by two of his sons, installed on a high pedestal in a park in Medora. The author of the National Register nomination for the park in 2018 left us, I suspect intentionally, a clue as to what we should think. She points out that prior to its unveiling in 1927, Jerry Tweeten's local folks set fire to it. We can no longer feign innocence of all that the Marquis des Morais represents.
Tom Ezern is a distinguished professor of history at NDSU. You can find his Plainsfolk essays and all of our podcasts at prairiepublic.org.